Vibe tribes. Welcome back, people. We're here for another episode of Vibes and Tribes. We're not quite at episode 10. I think we're at episode 9, guys, but we're about to hit double digits. So to everybody who's listened up to this point and been part of the journey, just want to thank you. But yeah, today it's a good one, people. This is the honeymoon special. I've got two married couples joining me on the podcast. And you know what that means as well, folks? We've got some females finally. We've been listening to all of your feedback, and Beth and Lucy have, you know, they've taken the plunge, and they're going to be the first females on the podcast. So let's let the fans know who you are. So Lucy, don't know if you want to quickly just introduce yourself.
Yeah, hi, I'm Lucy. I'm Josh's wife.
Or just Lucy. Well, yeah, Lucy Benson.
Yeah.
And perfect. And as we always do with new guests on the show, you're going on holiday or honeymoon in this case. What's the first thing that you're packing?
So mine's a bit rogue, but the first thing I pack is some hula hoops.
Hula hoops.
And I
okay.
mean like the circus hula hoops, not the crisps.
Okay. yeah, good distinction.
But like not Story. Just because I'm a hula hooper, but like it's just a fun thing to have, like, especially if you're traveling with other people, everyone wants to have a go. It's just a good time.
You can't take hula hoops abroad though, because they're quite big. Or do you have like
so
foldable
hula
hoops?
I have ones that clip down into small pieces.
Oh, wow. That's a thing.
It's a thing.
Okay.
Can I shout out the person who makes
it? Yeah, go for it.
Hoopspin.com. Thank you, Gail.
Hoopspin.com. Yeah. There we go. Look, we'll put the link in the description.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lucy, thank you for taking the time and joining us today. And
we also
have Beth. So Beth, you just want to quickly introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Beth. I can attest that Lucy does bring her everywhere she goes.
And honeymoon, holiday, what's the first thing that you're packing?
So I kind of have two things. One, and it's not fair,
go for
mosquito
it.
Spray.
Yeah, okay, necessity.
That just kills any holiday vibe.
Yep.
Get eaten. The second one is a good pair of slides.
Good pair of slides.
Hot or winter, I don't like my feet on public settings.
Okay.
And you're always going to be in a situation where your feet are going to be exposed.
That's a big fact. All right, well, welcome to the show. And for listeners who are tuning back in, we've got Josh and James again. I'm not going to put you through their introductions. So yeah, with that, we're going to get straight into it. Honeymoons. So first of all, congrats to both for being happily married for many years. I went to both weddings. We're both great. Great weddings.
Do you remember mine?
Remember, you know, I remember bits and pieces. But before we even get into the honeymoon, I think when I was thinking about this episode, like, how do you decide on a place to go? And what does that process look like? How long did it take you to decide on your destination? So we'll go with Josh first.
That's a very good question. Mm. I think we both like very similar holidays.
Okay.
So we are very much lie on a sunbed.
We're lazy.
Yeah, we're quite lazy. So anywhere hot, anywhere where we can relax. So we were kind of on the right page to agree.
Yeah.
And then to be honest, it came down to how much we got given as wedding gifts, because
that's
what
a big
our wedding
thing.
Registry was.
So how long were you not engaged for?
What, 16 months, 18 months?
Oh, okay, so you had a while to plan it.
Yeah, so we had ideas, but it was obviously dependent on how generous people decided to be.
Okay.
We've got lots of aunties and uncles.
We're going to get to that. Funding the honeymoon. Yeah. We are going to get to that, because I think what you guys have done is it's the way to do it, and it's the way I'll be doing it. Cough, cough to anyone who's listening in future. But yeah, James and Beth, how did you come about your decision as well?
I think we're probably the opposite. So yeah, just in terms of holidays, we don't like lounging. Want to do activities, want to be out there seeing the local people and that sort of thing. So yeah, we just basically looked at what was going to be new experiences for both of us.
Okay.
Completely different terrains to what we're used to. And yeah, went from there.
Okay, so with that, we'll kind of let the listeners know, where did you both go? So Lucy, where do you and Josh go?
We went to the Maldives.
Wonderful. How long for?
That was 10 nights.
That's wonderful. And then Beth, you and James?
So we split ours. We did 7 days in Kenya and did a safari.
Jeez.
And then we flew to Tanzania, Zanzibar, and did another 7 nights in kind of Paradise Island vibes.
So that wasn't safari?
No, that was more like...
No zebras on the walk or whatever.
Not on outside the room. Zanzibar, yeah. That was all in the safari.
Okay, cheese. So we've got 10 nights, we've got 7 and 7, we've got safaris, we've got chilling. One thing I've kind of got in my notes, obviously it's a honeymoon. When you're booking your flights and stuff, I know you want, you know, the price you pay to kind of, you want your money to go as far as possible, but do you treat yourselves like a cheeky, like business class or first class? I don't know, I'm just checking.
I wish. The honeymoon fund is long.
Yeah.
You need to be wasting money on the upgrade on that.
Okay.
Everything else is upgrade money.
James just goes and sits there anyway. Yeah.
You know, yeah, you'll kill your whole budget.
Okay, you'll kill your whole budget. Okay, good to know. And then in terms of actually planning the honeymoon, am I right in thinking that you have to go through like a guide, or you do a website, because it links into kind of the websites you have at the wedding, right?
Ours did.
So for us, we actually did ours. The registry was with Thomas Cook, so we had to book with them.
Pete.
Yeah. So interestingly enough, we it was like shortly after our wedding that Thomas Cook went under, and all of our kind of wedding like gift registry was still stuck within that. So that was a barrel of laughs.
Yeah.
We actually had the whole thing cancelled and refunded by Thomas Cook about 2 months before, and had to rebook each element with the airlines and hotel. I didn't tell Lucy until it was rebooked.
that's mad. But for those listening, I mean, you know that every group needs a Benson. So imagine that being your husband.
Oh,
I mean, we
so
got
good.
No, you got no doubt.
That's her travel hack.
Yeah.
It works so well because I'm just a hot mess. Yeah. So.
What's the travel hack? Just marry Josh Benson. There it is.
I mean, basically, can't go wrong.
Okay, so you guys, you went through Thomas Cook. Mm-hmm. But you're saying you had to do everything separately. So how many different things did that end up being?
To be honest, it was mainly just the flights and hotel. And okay. They were...
And they went down pre-COVID, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so yeah. So
2019.
This was just something that had been going on. High street going into stores doesn't happen anymore. Unless you're like 60 plus and don't like your computer, I guess.
And how did you come to the decision to choose Thomas Cook before they went down?
It was the gift registry situation. The people, okay, yeah.
So what is a gift registry for those like myself who don't know what that is?
I guess the only thing I could really compare it to is like a Just Giving page. You know, like if someone's doing a marathon or something, you're like, oh, donate into that, except they're donating towards your honeymoon.
Okay.
But what was special about the Thomas Cook one is that you didn't have to already have booked the trip.
Okay.
So it worked like a Just Giving page.
Okay.
Whereas if you, with, I think we looked at a few others, I think it was like Virgin and Kuoni and a few others, kind of, they say they're honeymoon gift registries, but you have to have already bought the trip, and people just like contribute.
Does it reimburse?
So it's almost it's almost like debt collection.
Chip away. So you kind of have to have the money and kind of know exactly what you want before that, whereas this gave us the freedom to decide that later based on kind of how much was in the pot.
So a lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
Okay. And for yourselves?
We kind of did the opposite.
This is what I love. I love the fact that you got
so different.
So we were quite cheeky, but I would actually really advise this. We went to honeymoon suppliers and said, this is what we want to do. We want to do safari. We want to do Paradise Island afterwards. Mm. They then gave us like the whole package, the whole itinerary. This is what we suggest you do. This is the cost.
Mm.
And then we said, okay, thanks very much. Let's put that on our own. Thank you.
Okay.
And we saved like...
Of course.
We saved probably like $6,000.
Because that's where they make their money, right?
And got way better deals.
Yeah, of course. Because if that's where they get their fees, right? It's by negotiating all of that stuff on your behalf, right?
Yeah.
Especially
it's kind of harsh, but yeah.
You're doing safari scans. Makes more sense, right?
Definitely.
It wasn't absolute.
Yeah. Look, to any honeymoon planners, look, we're sorry, but... couples got to do what a couple's got to do, you know?
Yeah, I think that point's right. I think it was because we had multiple elements to our trip, so different pickups and drop-offs, internal flights, all sorts of things going on, whereas I think if you were just going to one place, you don't really need to do that, but Yeah, for us, there's a lot of moving parts.
Ours
yeah,
wasn't like 10 days, one hotel, all inclusive. Ours was like...
Lots of things going on. And
five different hotels, flights, everything.
This leads me nicely into the question for both couples. In terms of planning the honeymoon, so, all right, you guys have decided on when you're going, you've got your registries and whatnot set up. Who's taking charge here? Is it a joint effort, or is there one captain in both couples? I think I know the answer, but I'm gonna ask you anyway.
Let's take a poll at who we think the captains are. I mean, I've got a Benson, so I can just chill.
So it was just put your faith in Josh.
Yeah.
Josh is at the wheel. Do.
Yeah. I'll make a few diva demands, but that's pretty much
Again,
it.
Again, to be fair, ours is pick a hotel, a resort that you like. Mm-hmm. The flights take care of themselves.
Yeah.
So actually, for us, it's what budget do we have?
Mm-hmm.
What's our priority that we want to have?
Okay.
What can we get to? Their one's way more broad and takes probably a lot more organisation.
And just before we get to theirs, but what about your itinerary when you're there? So you're in the Maldives for 10 days. We'll get into like what you can do, but did you have it like planned to the hour, or were you just kind of free, like just catching a vibe?
You're at your resort for the most part, and there's things you can do, but it's because they're so small. Well, the one we went to is very small.
Mm.
You just pick it up as and when you want to do things, and we'll come on to it. But there isn't, it's not like you're going out on a boat to somewhere every day. You're essentially waking up in paradise every day and doing whatever you like. Whatever
Jealous
you want.
Much.
Yeah. It's quite easy to wing it. Yeah.
Okay, lovely. And Captain Beth?
Go on.
Do you want to tell us our itinerary of the trip?
No. So before we even get to... Yeah, so was it a couple's decision? Or I mean, I just called you the captain.
No. I think I probably actually do the actual doing of the organisation, like actually follow
admin.
Through. I do the admin. He's not going to do any of that. He won't actually make it necessarily happen at the end. But the ideas are both of us, because we're quite specific on what we like and what we... don't like.
Nice. And then with regards to your itinerary then, you kind of came together on that, and was there a lot of planning? Because like you said, you lot are very active people, so where they were winging it, you knew what you was doing with each one of your days on your honeymoon. Yeah,
we sort of
yeah, I think we had a sort of overall plan. We had two or three days that were sort of open, and then we just decided what to do sort of on that day when we were there, but everything else was very much planned.
Okay.
We always research like good restaurants, things to do.
Like, is this stuff you do together, like sitting on the sofa, like watching Netflix?
Oh yeah, just planning.
Oh, come on.
And we like to do local things. That's our big...
Just really immerse yourselves in the culture.
So I say that, but actually in Zanzibar, at least, a lot of what we did was we found a local guide and basically we did everything with him.
Okay.
So that stuff wasn't too much planned, but...
Okay. All right, we'll get into
shout
that.
Shout him out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you want to shout him out now?
We still talk to him now, bless him.
Zahor. He's some random...
Hold tight, Zahor. I don't have him on Instagram, people.
He doesn't have Instagram.
Hold tight, Zahor, from Zanzibar.
If you want a guide, he's the guy. He's the guy.
Taxi, everything.
We'll provide some stuff in the show notes. All right, so we're coming up to the trip now. And this is just another random thing that comes to my head. The actual flights, right? So I know I've talked about going like first class and that. You know, on airlines now, you kind of got to like pay to make sure you sit next to each other. Are you not paying to make sure that as a couple on your honeymoon?
I'm paying that because I am so scared of flying. I hate flying. And I have to like break Josh's hand every time I go on a plane. And like, yeah, the day that we get on a plane, I'm not a nice person. Until I've had a drink, then I'll calm down.
So you don't take the risk. You make sure that you're sitting next to each other.
Yeah, I can't take that risk.
Absolute rip-off though, right? Yeah. The fact that you have to pay to ensure that you're sitting next to the person you're going on a holiday with.
We have not paid before because we were just out of principle. But, I was like, it's 2 hours.
But that's short-haul flights.
You're not
2 hours. These aren't bootleg flights. It's not your Ryanair. You're not going on your honeymoon on Ryanair and EasyJet.
Long haul,
you're always going to be together.
Oh, is that true?
You just don't always get a choice. So they may screw you and put you in the middle of a four.
Yeah.
And have two to either side, which... so unnecessary.
Yeah,
but you will always be
you'll be together. They're proper airlines, so
okay.
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
But when Ryanair does that, I'm not into them.
Neither am I actually, no, because I just sleep
free time.
I just sleep.
I'll just see you in 2 hours.
Have a breather.
Yeah. I wish I had your, you know, confidence in the whole flying thing.
So Lucy, you say that you're scared. So for anybody who's listening to this and they might be a little bit, you know, scared of flying, like, what's your advice to them apart from squeezing your other half's hand?
Yeah, there is that. Yeah, honestly, just get drunk.
Okay.
And then I think also just distraction is the biggest thing for me. So
watching a film.
Yeah, I'm watching a film. I'm watching a series. I'm just doing something else. And drinking again.
From me to you, one thing I do on liftoff and when you land, I always shut my eyes. And I don't think I'm trying to sleep, but I just don't like to see that. I don't like to see us going off the runway and like hitting
it's
the
unnerving
ground. Yeah,
the landing's the worst for me.
Yeah.
I can't
just close
it.
Your eyes, because what you can't see can't scare you,
right?
That's my way of looking at it.
Yeah, so if I'm just looking at the screen watching a film, that's all I'm thinking. I could be anywhere.
To quote Ivan Drago, if we die, we know. No, I'm joking. Let me not put people off. So if we go to the Maldives first, we get to the airport. How far is it from the airport to where you're staying? And where is it you're staying?
So first thing, I would go back a step and just say can go to the Maldives in two different ways.
Okay.
And our actual plan initially was to fly via Sri Lanka, because that's one of the common routes that you do.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to do 5 days in Sri Lanka and then a week in the Maldives. But as we were booking was when they had the terrorist attack.
Oh, okay.
So they basically banned all bookings for flights. So we canned that and just did the Maldives. So you can fly that way normally, which is, I think, research. 10 hours to Sri Lanka and then two to the Maldives. Or Dubai is the other very common one.
Okay.
And that's 7 and 4.
And are both flights like nice airplanes?
I mean, Dubai is on their biggest Airbus.
Cool.
That's one where she didn't even know we'd taken
off. So I didn't even realise. So I was actually quite calm on that flight.
Okay, nice.
So that's really nice. You know,
they give you the hot towels and all them things, yeah.
It was pretty nice.
Yeah, I like that. Who did you fly with?
Emirates,
yeah. And like ballparks, like we don't need to know the actual cost, but was it, how expensive are we talking to get yourself out to the Maldives? Just flights.
Ours is a package, but I think the flights bit is maybe grand each return.
Okay.
It's not, the thing is, it's the resorts that are expensive.
And
that is also peak for a flight.
No, it is. It is. And, I think
grand before you land.
And to be honest, I think I'm probably over.
No, that's including the seaplane. So after you fly, you fly London, Dubai to Mali, and then from Mali airport, you go to the seaplane airport.
And that's why I was asking, like, is each plane good? Because like
the last
seaplane is,
if you're worried about not opening your eyes, don't do it on these.
Honestly,
the back door's open the whole time.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's, you know, like those little planes where like people jump out of them on the telly and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like that. But like they're all lined up in a port, like you'd have boats, but they're planes. It's weird. And then it just like drives on the sea and then just like takes off out of nowhere. And then when you land, I mean, it's about an hour on this like rickety little seaplane. And I was like, well, this is how I die. but then when you land, is that they call it, it was like something international airport, and it was a plank of wood in the sea, but they have to call it an international airport, like, and it's registered as an airport.
And did you lot feel at any point that your luggage was going missing? Because that's always the thing I'm thinking about, is my luggage, especially when there's like connecting flights and stuff like that. Touch wood, it's never happened to me.
Again, another travel hack.
Yeah.
When you're connecting, if you can, fly with the same airline.
Of course.
When you're changing airline, stuff goes missing.
Mm.
And I mean, on the seaplane, you take it to the plane and they stick it in the back.
Yeah.
So you can always see it.
Also,
if they ask you for a bribe at the airport and you don't give them one, then it's never.
Another travel hack.
In the Maldives.
Which actually happened in Zanzibar.
Another travel hack that I have, and I'm not sure that anybody does this, and I'm not sure that I would actually do this, but if you mark your suitcase as fragile, then it gets put at the front. So it will always come off the plane first.
Why haven't we been doing that this whole time?
Yeah, so if you're worried about them like not taking care of your possessions and flinging it around, mark it as fragile. Not only do they put it first, but they do actually handle it with care.
Do they care that much?
Okay, so yeah, we've spoken about what we're doing before we get to the Maldives. What was the process like? When was it Zanzibar first
or Kenya first?
Oh, it was Kenya first. Okay, so yeah, how long's the flight?
8 hours.
Who are we flying with?
Kenya Airlines.
Oh, right.
Local one.
Local teams, yeah.
Nah, decent, supported. Decent. It actually wasn't like... It was good. It was, yeah.
It's called Kenya Airlines.
Kenya Airways.
Did they provide like local cuisine on the flight?
What do we even... I don't even remember what we ate. It was normal grub. It's an airline.
Zebra leg and rice.
It's a big tourist flight. Yeah,
it's like a normal airline.
Yeah.
Decent flight.
I believe that. Don't talk to me like I don't think it's a normal airline. I believe you.
Okay. Yeah, so London to
Nairobi.
Okay.
There for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Then again, similar thing. Smaller local plane out to the Masai Mara for safari.
Yeah.
Sort of 10-seater thing.
How many hours was that?
An hour. Door, 45 minutes.
Back door open?
Not back door open, but you're dropping off at other safari camps along the way.
Oh my God. Yeah, so there's a lot of like...
We were the second, so we actually only went down and up once.
Like a bus.
But yeah, it's like a... Yeah, literally like a airplane bus.
Oh my God.
We landed and the airport that we landed on, which was like our safari base, was like this tiny little canopy and this man just sitting underneath it in the shade next to a gazelle. And I was just like, okay, I'm in the safari now.
Okay. I feel that. This is serious.
Amazing.
Yeah. So just to kind of like bring it back as well, with the airline booking, so even with the small plane, that all goes through the airline. So if you book separate. With Kenya, separate. Oh, okay, so you do have to book it separate.
So,
okay.
That's quite a bump.
Yeah. Our big, so in terms of London to Nairobi, Nairobi to Zanzibar, Zanzibar back to Nairobi, Nairobi to London, that was all Kenya Airways.
Mm-hmm.
And then we booked the local flight to the safari camp separately.
And then
anyway, you can do it.
Yeah.
And then cost of that flight, because you've just said it was a bump. Like, I can see
$350.
Okay.
It's a 40-minute plane.
That's a bump.
But when you've already bought your about four different tickets.
Yeah.
You go, oh, how are we going to get there? Like, we googled it afterwards.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, that was one way. So it's $350 one way.
Mm. So oh my God.
Yeah. So you're basically paying another.
But we did it on purpose.
You should get there because actually that's a really important thing that everyone should do. That was like one of the highlights.
Oh, so you can like take in the sights
of
like the whole of Kenya.
The whole
basically.
Of Kenya. It wasn't even cheaper in the end. I think it was like $50 cheaper. Yeah. You don't do it.
But it's nicer to.
You get like a 4x4 Jeep picks you up in Masmara and mm-hmm. you drive 8 hours through Kenya.
I was only 8 hours. That's not even that bad, you know.
And it was amazing. Like, you went up and down
Did
the
Did you have a driver?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, it's private driving. Yeah, like a 4x4 Jeep.
God, yeah.
We're not driving through Kenya. Like, this is a Kenyan man picked us up. But like, you really saw how people were living and like, they had like farms and everything, like, which I don't think you'd ever see, because everyone literally goes to Nairobi or the safari and they just miss this entire huge country of Kenya. But I loved that day.
Did you stop off for food?
Yeah.
8 hour drive.
That was interesting.
The local grub. Yeah. We're going to get into that actually. Yeah. Let me digress. Okay, so all right, we're at our places now. Okay, we're going back to the Maldives. Mm. Talk us through your first few days. Yeah, talk us through what you guys got up to.
So when you arrived there, we had like a whole like drumming band like welcome us to the resort, and I was like, well, this is bougie.
Name of the resort, please, for the listeners.
Hirawali.
Hirawali.
Okay. Gorgeous resort.
Okay.
I still follow them on Instagram and I'm just like, take me back. But it was gorgeous. But it actually pissed it down with rain on our first day.
Oh God.
But it was so beautiful. I just didn't care.
It didn't matter.
And they like, they were so like extra attentive, like the service level at the resort was just unreal.
I do think that when I think Maldives,
this bath. So we had a water villa, and we had this bathtub that was like on the decking of our water villa, and then they kept like drawing me like baths with like petals in, and I was just sipping my champagne in the bath, watching like stingrays swimming by, and
wonderful.
I was like, I'm just living my best life.
You can see how our first 3 days. I think for anyone who doesn't know, water villa is one of those things you see in all the pictures,
on stilts.
Where it's you go out from the sand on a big deck, villas just on top of the sea.
Mm-hmm. But you can't actually jump into the sea, can you?
Directly.
Oh, you can. Yeah. There's not like a break off between your room.
Well, so there's a room.
don't know how I feel about that, you know.
It's amazing.
So there's your room, then there's your deck.
Yeah.
You have your lounges. Okay. You can also have a pool on the end.
Yeah.
The budget didn't stretch that far.
Okay.
We didn't need it because we were in the sea. The sea.
I know, and it must be so blue, right? The water must be so blue.
It was so blue. Like, I kept, like, literally pinching myself because I couldn't believe how, like, beautiful it was.
And because...
Stunning.
And because you guys are on your honeymoon, like, of the Huliwari, have they hooked anything up? Like...
So, everyone there is on their honeymoon.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But so much so, something they did for us, which they do for pretty much everyone there because everyone's on their honeymoon, they give you these honeymoon t-shirts that say Mr. and Mrs. on the back.
Okay. Oh,
and I forced Josh to wear it once for a photo and then he was like, get it off.
Oh, but I would do that.
It didn't make it past day two.
Oh, okay.
It was the worst. I thought it was adorable.
I know you've got it hidden away at home. It's stored away, isn't it?
I suggested we wear them today.
Oh, okay.
For the pod, but yeah, just
Lucy,
even,
I like you.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of that. Benson, do more.
Sorry, it was
be
a
better.
Step too far for me.
Okay, and yeah, what? How was your welcome in Kenya? Where did you stay?
Different. Very different.
Have any drums or bands? Yeah,
no drums. No. I'm thinking coming to America when I'm hearing drums and bands. So what was it? What was it like for you?
I think we for our first day, because we landed at like 9 o'clock.
At night. Okay.
So it was literally book a random hotel to the random hotel. Then we had the next day there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were going off to safari. So I think we literally had...
We went to the Nairobi National Park and we hired bikes.
So that was day two, right?
That's day two.
You're not doing that at 9pm.
That's day two. There's no welcome anything.
Okay.
It's literally to the hotel,
check-in,
local grub across the road. The hotel's restaurant was shut.
Mm.
Went to the most local cafeteria.
The quickest place that you could get to and get
literally
back.
Ate there. Food was decent.
Yeah.
What's the
local cuisine like? I keep making jokes.
How to describe it. Yeah.
Nutritious.
Yeah.
They're based on like
lots of veg
high
and
nutrients.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just,
I would have loved that.
I would say high nutrients. I wouldn't say low on flavor, but like their whole
rotted African country low on flavor.
It's Kenya. So it's
their whole
more
gig
sustenance.
Is to fill everyone up,
yeah.
Right?
Beef, okay. Cassava, and all those. So like stodgy.
Yeah. Oh, like eba, really? And like pounded yam.
Yeah.
Venting.
But not too. It's not flavoursome like our grub.
Yeah.
Whereas like Zanzibar's like spice capital of Africa, so it was like completely different.
Mm. So okay, so that's good that you did it that way around. Because imagine you started at Zanzibar and then you went to that. And Maldives, did you try local cuisine? Is it, or is it like very tourist heavy? Because you say everyone's on honeymoons.
So there's variety. It's all inclusive.
Okay. Oh, lovely.
It generally always will be in these places because
is it
the Maldives generally it will be.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can get.
Because I've heard like there's places where you go to a restaurant, it's like $300, $300 or.
I mean,
you can do no all inclusive.
Okay,
but you're a lunatic.
Yeah. Or a millionaire.
Or two, but if you're a millionaire, you're not worried. You're
of course.
So you can do it the other way.
Okay.
I think in some resorts they will do it the other way, but you know,
yours was all inclusive. So how many restaurants were there at your resort?
There's one main one.
Okay.
Where they change it up each time. They will do local stuff sometimes. And
there's a lot of local fish, like sort of thing.
So that's probably what's the biggest thing. There's a lot of fish because they go fish it. So
that's amazing.
Because while they don't necessarily have loads of things that we would associate as their cuisine, it's just everything's fresh.
Okay.
And the standards have to be high.
Yeah.
So all the fish is caught daily. There's things like sushi every day.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, sushi.
Yeah,
it's slappers.
You go to some places and you think sushi buffet, bit skeptical.
It was unreal.
Oh. It's made fresh.
I love sushi now.
They have like Michelin star chefs there, but there was the waterfront restaurant, which we went, I think, a couple of times. But what was like the real special thing was the under the sea restaurant they had there. Mm. And that was an extra charge and it was a spenny charge. But
worth it though?
We should do it. It was
going
to go there once.
Mm.
It seems a lot. But if you don't do it, you'll regret because... Mm.
Yeah. It was amazing. And so they even had like a marine biologist coming round, like explaining all the different fish and stuff. I loved it.
It's just like, bring me my food.
And this is like a random thing for me, but I'm imagining like the Maldives is like a remote place.
Mm.
Like for someone like me, like I love a snack. So when I'm on holiday, like, I'm not saying I'm going to a vending machine, but I might go to a little corner shop down the road to get some chocolate and crisps.
But they have
like,
all that stuff.
Oh, they do, yeah. They like, I've just imagined that.
We had snacks in the room, yeah. And then you can get room service.
And it's all inclusive as well, right? Yeah, so you're not getting charged on anything.
They have like an American diner where if someone wants a pizza, they can get it
at
done.
Like 3 a.m., you can have
Sure if you wanted something that wasn't overly ridiculous, you could probably get it.
Oh, okay, nice.
We're not very...
Demanding,
whereas you can tell some of the people would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, you are isolated to where you are.
Mm. Okay.
It's all the Maldives is hundreds of little islands that you can walk across in 5 minutes.
So did you see like the same people every day?
Yeah, we were lucky because we went early-ish in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Place was maybe third full, I would say. And it just, at times, you are just the only people.
Okay, so just before we go on to like the food that you had. So it's a lot of seafood in the Maldives. I'm a guy who likes meat. Is there chicken options? Is there beef options? There's, is there meat options?
There's anything you could want.
Okay.
But something I will say is I have quite a few dietary requirements.
Yeah.
I can't have gluten or dairy.
Mm.
And I don't eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I'm a bloody nightmare. Like anytime that Beth cooks for me, she's like, oh God. But they were so good.
Okay.
So accommodating.
Yeah, lovely.
And I had just the most incredible food I've ever had.
So is it a case where you're letting them know like a day before, okay, tomorrow? Or you just told them before you come, these are my dietary requirements. And then
it was all sorted. Like, so and whether it was like a la carte type restaurant or if it was like the breakfast buffet, there was always just so many options and like really good options. So good. And I think that's something like traveling with dietary requirements can be quite scary.
Of course, yeah.
Because you can go somewhere and be like, I can't eat here.
Yeah.
And it's something that like before I had this, like I used to take it for granted. But this was a... I feel like the bouginess of it, they kind of have to be
you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
The classic case of that. But look, for those of you who do have dietary requirements, look, Maldives might be your spot. It might have to, you know, remortgage and them things, but it might be your spot.
Budget spots are available for gluten-free travel also.
And we'll cover those in other podcasts. So yeah, on to Kenya. You've spoken a little bit about the food. What we're saying, not great.
No, the food was very good.
Okay.
Amazing.
So the food was good.
Sorry, to be very clear. It's just like the type.
Just, okay.
We had local food.
Yeah. What types of food was it?
Choice.
Literally everything. Like...
A lot of meat.
Mm.
So obviously there's game. So one of the restaurants we went to is called Carnivore.
Okay.
Alligator, ostrich.
Okay.
Wildebeest. Like,
is Carnivore like a chain? I want to say that I've heard of it.
I've no idea.
Okay.
Think about Carnivore.
maybe. Okay, but you had alligator.
Yeah.
Kind of always like an unlimited barbecue
buffet,
and you literally just picked every meat, and they just made it fresh for you there.
Wow!
And there was like every game in the outback you could imagine was on that menu.
Okay,
it was crazy.
Buffeting.
Alligator was nice.
And then, so that's Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
What was the food like in Tanzania?
Outrageous.
Yeah,
honestly.
Like again, Spice Island. So.
They call it Spice Island.
Spice Island. Mm. So they have.
I thought it's called Paradise Island. So it's called Paradise Spice Island.
The Spice Island.
Oh, there's two.
It's the hub of Spice.
Oh.
So like its culture is it's had a terrible history actually because it kept getting taken over by dictators because of the wealth of its spices.
Oh, okay.
And also its location.
Yeah.
Okay, so just to put you lot on the spot, tell me a spice that I would know that's come from there.
Right.
sorry.
I don't know.
I thought you might know. I thought I've told you.
The reason I'm saying that is I think it's been taken over by the British, the French.
Mm.
Like Oman ruled it for a bit.
Mm.
I don't know who else. Like just literally all sorts of different countries. So you've got different sort of influences in terms of the food, the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they've over time planted everything.
Yeah.
And the earth is rich.
And the earth is rich.
And the hotel, I don't even know if you can call it a hotel, the place we were staying was just outrageous.
Okay.
It was like 5 villas. We don't like big resorts.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all opposite on this table.
Yeah, chic.
We were like in this hotel, we had like 5 separate villas and you basically had like your own butler. But so it's a whole hotel just for you pretty much.
The ratio
was like 1 to 10 staff. Like
okay.
1 guest, 10 staff.
A madness.
And every day they pretty much just said, like, what do you want for breakfast? Where do you want it? What time? And then you just said, or like,
that's a bit too much for me.
I don't want to think. You get used to it.
Oh, okay.
You get but used to it. Yeah. It was wild. Yeah.
They'll give you a sort of menu.
Okay.
So you just say, today we're eating by the beach. This is what I want. This is the time I want it. And they just do it.
And was so, yours, was it all inclusive as well? Okay. So it was.
Yeah. But similar all inclusive. And that is definitely the way to go, I think.
On a honeymoon.
But yeah. Just.
Not buffet.
Okay, so they're cooking something that's off of a menu for you.
Yeah, or you'd literally be like, I want barbecue pork prawns, and they'd be like, cool, we're going to get them for you today.
Oh, okay, and what was the snack situation like?
So we got there at like 12:30.
In the morning, a.m.
a.m. and night. And they were like, oh, are you hungry? I was like, yeah, I'm a bit peckish. And they were like, oh, we'll make you something, fish and chips. But like, their fish and chips are like fresh fish. They battered it.
Mm.
Just lovely.
Just that platter came in, like this entire fish. I feel like they just caught.
It's ridiculous.
Like this bed of fries, and then just like.
It sounds like your dream, because James.
It was great. I was eating very, very
well. The way we ate was that we left our hotel for one night to go and eat somewhere else, which is like one of the best restaurants on the island.
Mm. Not carnival.
No, that was in Kenya.
Okay, sorry.
It was called The Rock. Okay, so The Rock. It's a restaurant that's
owned by Dwayne Johnson.
You have to get a boat to. So it's a rock in the middle of the ocean.
Okay.
You have to get a boat there.
She missed that gag, by the way. Totally went overhead. Sorry, but she just kept it. Oi, on my own podcast, you know. No, I'm joking, but sorry, carry on. That's my fault. Sorry, carry on.
Anyway, we ordered starters and we had them. We were like, this is not even it. Went back to our hotel.
Wow.
Yeah. And when we went there, we were like, oh, we're really sorry. We know we weren't eating tonight, but do you have anything? They were like, of course. What do you want?
Oh, they got you. They got you.
God, they had us.
I think it's probably top two best.
So what's the name? What is the name of this hotel? So obviously we'll share it.
Anna of Zanzibar.
Pardon?
Anna of Zanzibar.
Mm. And I suppose this is a question to both couples. So you're both in quite small locations. There's loads of staff. With the other couples, I'm assuming yours was a lot of honeymoon people as well in the other five. Oh, you didn't talk to them. So my question was going to be, were you talking to other couples? No, it was just the two of you.
We don't like other people.
Okay. That's one thing you lot have in common. Yeah. No talking to any other couples. So it's just like the little head nod when you see them in the morning or whatever.
Not even.
We actually make friends on holiday. This was a hotel where everyone ate whenever they wanted, right?
So okay. You're not bumping into people.
Lunchtime.
You basically
had this whole hotel to yourself, it felt like.
Okay.
Which was wild.
All right.
Yeah.
I think we, be careful how I say this, some of the people at the resort where we were, because it was quite high end, they were very spoiled.
It was so annoying.
It actually comes across. So there's a difference between what they're saying, where like that's the experience you've gone for, they're offering to you, you're being very grateful.
Mm. This is what they expect.
To demanding Madness. Above and beyond what is actually probably okay. So like, for example, you have to walk 20 seconds from your water villa to the breakfast. People are calling up demanding a buggy comes and gets them.
That's a mad thing.
Blocking up the road for everybody else.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff pisses me off.
So I'm
looking at these people. I don't want to make friends with them.
Yeah. And now these people like UK based, US based, like let's put them on blast. Where do you think they're from?
It's just
the whole mix.
People are there.
Brits abroad.
But the thing is, but also the kids, they're young. So it's not like they're, you know, they have a reason why they need the buggy.
Because
obviously if you do, like...
Yeah, you do, fair play. But like they were just being divas.
Yeah.
Mm. And it was happening all across the resort. People just like refusing to kind of lift a finger. And it's like, I know we're lazy, but that's another level. And like we're lazy, but we're very polite.
Mm.
And I think it's when there's people being impolite, that's something I kind of just don't have any time for.
I think we probably felt very privileged to be there as well. People probably...
It's a once in a lifetime thing.
That's their normality and they're just expectant of certain things.
I hear you.
To realise.
All right. So that leads us nicely into activities across both trips. So I feel like you lot did more. So yeah, give us the highlights from Kenya and Zanzibar. And yeah, just to be clear for the listeners, what you did where. So obviously you did the safari in Kenya.
Yeah, safari is... unreal. You just have to go, basically. I think everybody should.
Did you feel like the Black David Attenborough when you were narrating to Beth?
No. So I've been before.
Oh, okay.
Actually, so it was her first time. So maybe she should tell you how for her.
No, honestly, this place, I feel.
Sorry. Just for context, we landed. we're getting driven to the camp, and she's just gassed by gazelles. Like, she's not seeing any proper animals.
Yeah.
She's going mad for gazelles.
Yeah.
Gazelle is a proper animal.
But there's a billion. They're dead. Like,
someone who's been to safari knows there's a million of gazelles.
Oh, you didn't know? Before. Okay.
Yeah, when would you have seen a gazelle?
Like, okay.
In my life, Zoo Tycoon. Yeah. Like, that's it. So I land, and there's gazelles just running by the airport, the gazebo thing, and I'm just like, hang about.
Yeah.
That's a gazelle. So I'm gassed. The Jeep picks us up. We go to our, which was called Hemingway's...
Oseki
Hemingway's.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable place to do your safari.
We'll link it.
Private
we'll link it.
Conservation, so it wasn't like super touristy like some of the safaris. And we got bride went free.
What does that mean?
As a bride, I went free.
Oh, okay.
We were on our honeymoon, which honestly, the price was expensive, so half in that was ideal.
Yeah.
And then we got there, and there's like 8 tents.
Can I just say, by the way, sorry to cut Beth out, she said that it's expensive, so I've known, and this is just like a standard safari, I'm not even going to put them on the spot, I've known safaris can cost up to like 15k, so when you say bride went free, like, you're saving some change.
Crazy change you're saving.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't all that.
Okay. Yeah, but look, we'll put the link in the bio. Yeah, you can
that's like gorilla trekking, 15k. Yeah, you have to get that.
I think we paid like 2k.
Okay.
3 nights.
With her free for 3 nights.
Okay.
It should have been 4.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
So sorry, yeah. So
to arrive, so it's 8 tents, and these tents are like, obviously, luxury rooms.
Is there a shower in them?
Yeah.
Like, in a tent?
It's not a tent. It's called a tent, but it's not a tent.
Okay. Electricity?
Yeah.
Aircraft. It's a hotel room.
Okay. It's a hotel room,
but in
luxury tent.
They're trying to keep the conservation of the environment, right? So, like, and then you like have this gorgeous decking. But like, to put into context of you, you are in the middle of the bush. So when it gets dark, you're not allowed to leave your room. You have to like flash a torch because there's animals just walking in and out your...
So can they get into your room?
Of course.
Yeah.
They say if you hear paws on your decking in the middle of the night, like paws on your decking, then you should be worried. But if you hear hooves, you're all right. So you're basically, we hear hooves and we're like, oh, it could be a giraffe, could be a zebra, that's okay. But as soon as you hear like something that sounds like a paw... It could be like a lion, an elephant, like stamping the camp.
But it's fine.
Yeah, obviously.
What do you mean it's fine?
That's not fine.
But I'm just letting you know, this place is wild in that sense.
Just,
you are with the animals. Like, I can't explain it. Like, there's no zoo type experience. You get up, you have breakfast, and you see a stampede of elephants walking past your tent.
Nah, that's not for me, you know. I just feel like
I love it.
This is beef waiting to happen.
No.
Like, for me, I'm a practical man. You see all skydiving, all them things. No, I'm not jumping out a plane. I ain't standing next to Mufasa and them, man.
That's different, though, because I'd want to do the animals. I'm not even getting on the plane.
Yeah, that's true. But you're saying it was safe.
Don't care about you.
You sure?
Yeah, it's safe. 100%. Like, they don't care.
So why are they saying if you hear paws?
It's just...
Just don't leave your tent.
Yeah, so
that's what they're saying. So they can't get into it.
No. They wanted to.
It's a tent.
Okay.
Right. So, yes, it's still made of fabric. So, yeah, they can get in if they want to, but why would they?
Okay.
They really don't care about you at all. And, like, the place is all ran by, like, local tribesmen as well.
Okay.
So they all know the animals like their friends.
Yeah.
It's actually wild.
Okay. So a few questions here. You obviously said you did 3 nights there. Mm-hmm. Is there an option to do shorter, longer, or is 3 nights, like, the recommended when you go on the website?
I think 3 nights is recommended just because you do sort of morning, daytime and nighttime drives.
Okay.
So that you get to see everything at different times, and obviously it's all very different.
Mm-hmm.
I think 3 days is enough, to be fair. I wouldn't necessarily go for longer, just do, like, by the end of it, I seen a lot of lions.
Yeah.
Just more lions.
Really. Okay.
So I think 3 days is probably okay. Even two days if you drive for most of the day, it's fine.
And is there, like, once again, like, sorry, I'm a big foodie, like,
it's all inclusive as well.
It's all inclusive. So, yeah. There's like chefing up, buffet.
They wake you up at like 5 a.m. singing with like a hot flask of cocoa, and then they wrap you up in this thing, and then you see the sunrise.
All right.
And then
sounds amazing.
On your Jeep they have like cool box with like champagne.
Yeah,
it's
proper.
So, and is it just you in the car, or are you with other people?
Us and another couple.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And that was cool. Tribes people that actually take you on the tour.
Yeah, of course.
So they're always
course.
Like, this is Lucy, she's like chief lioness. Like, they know the animals, like,
they
live there.
Yeah, of course.
They live in the local tribe, so it's amazing.
That's sick. Okay, so you did 3 days, you've seen plenty. One thing that comes to my mind is, are you just taking pictures on like an iPhone, or do you need a camera? Do you need a certified camera for a trip like this?
Camera. I don't think I used it that much, but okay. everyone else had cameras.
We were rookies. We should have had a camera, really.
I'm never going to look back at the pictures. It's in my head.
What do you mean?
It's in my head.
I look back.
Exactly.
We took pictures on our phones, but like...
I think this is like a classic thing. Guys, they don't really care.
I haven't even looked at our wedding photos.
That's a mad thing.
Honestly.
I've looked at your wedding photos and you've not looked at your wedding photos.
Yeah.
He's like, I was there.
I'll link that as well. I'll link the Google Drive of pictures. No, I'm joking. Okay, so that's...
Safari.
That's Safari. Before we get on to Tanzania, we'll come back to Josh and Lucy. Yeah, hit us with some of the activities you did. What kind of stuck out for you both?
We did a lot of lying down and relaxing. Enjoying the view, eating, drinking. But what we did do a lot of was snorkeling. And okay. You don't have to go on like a trip or anything. You literally just like wander off the edge of your water villa.
Okay.
Like just literally jump in off your patio and you're snorkeling with like the most amazing sea creatures. Okay. And like, I am such a water baby. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm the happiest when I'm swimming. Like, these guys knows anytime we go on holiday, like, if you need me, I'm in the pool, I'm in the sea. And there was just, just stingrays and sharks and just, it was really beautiful. But you could do that without the whole effort of actually, like, you know, getting to a port and going on a boat and packing a bag. Like, you could just jump in, do it for, like, 10 minutes and then lie down and drink champagne again.
Do they like provide flippers and like wetsuits?
Yeah, you get one.
Oh, you don't need a wetsuit.
No, you don't need a wetsuit. Just flippers. It's hot as hell.
Is it deep, the sea? I mean, I know that might be a silly question. Like, can you stand up in it for those who can't swim?
Yeah, further
Jeez,
you go, obviously.
Come on. I'm all about that standing up in the sea life. Yeah. All right.
They give you a map which shows like how far you should go safely by yourself. Give you things like life jackets if you want one.
Life jacket, flippers and a snorkel mask. But we got one of those like full face snorkel masks and we got it on Amazon. And it's so good because like you don't have to even think about
breathing,
holding the thing in your mouth. And like that was a really good shout.
So, I mean, you speak about like relaxing a lot. What potential things could you have done that maybe you didn't
We did paddleboarding.
You can rent jet skis and go further out,
visit other islands.
They have basically a cabin with all this stuff that you can
all
do.
It's
water sports basically. They do where we were, they take you on a dolphin cruise.
Oh, we did do the dolphin cruise.
Okay,
that sounds
amazing. Like when I was in Mexico, I did, but some of the boys, they went to see flamingos and stuff like that. So you can do, dolphins.
You're just on this small boat and there's hundreds of dolphins just going past.
That sounds amazing.
It was incredible.
Did you have a camera?
I did. I'd have a camera. I'm a camera.
Have you looked back at your photos?
No. I have.
Oh, okay. Classic. Here we go again.
Yeah.
It's amazing because they're doing like tricks and stuff because I think they're just used to people being around.
Yeah.
But they're also...
Dolphins just like that. They're very playful.
That's why a dolphin is my spirit animal.
Do you get to feed them?
Like your spirit animal. Yeah.
Do you get to feed them?
Nah, they want to leave them in their natural kind of.
You don't feed wild animals.
Zoo, okay, sorry. Look,
but they're just in the sea.
Caged animals on this podcast.
Yeah, sorry.
But it is amazing, and I've never seen so many dolphins in my life. It was incredible.
So a lot of what happens in the Maldives, it's centered around oceanography, sea,
manta rays, and just relaxing.
Yeah,
manta rays is a big thing. So they have lots of like manta ray excursions and stuff. I mean, we'd seen rays.
Is that things that can sting you?
Stingrays can sting you. I don't know if manta rays
can. Look like stingrays, but
they're massive.
Right. You're a fearmonger.
Yeah, ban all them things, man.
You're like, what's going to kill me on my holiday?
No.
Encourage your listeners.
You can go on like trips to where you specifically search for specific animals. But we were just perfectly happy with the ones locally to us, kind of at our resort.
Tours of the capital, but being that it's plane away again. We didn't feel the need to. I think some resorts are closer, it's like a boat ride, so it might be worth doing. But to be honest, if you go,
is all this stuff extra? Is it all part of the all inclusive?
No, that would have been something that they would arrange for you, but you'd have to pay for it.
The dolphin thing was included.
Yeah, so they include that.
Okay. Yeah, and all the snorkel stuff is included. I think we paid like a tiny amount for the paddleboarding.
They do like a deposit. Okay.
Yeah, but then like so much of it, you can literally just skip off the end of your water villa, and then you're just with like amazing sea creatures.
You know what you're going there for.
Yeah,
you're not going there to do loads of
adventures and things.
This might be like an uncultured question for me, and this is to both of you. In all of the hotels, and okay, maybe not the tent, but is there like a TV in your room?
Yeah,
there's okay, a TV and, in a tent.
So
there's a TV in the tent as well. Jeez,
in the mornings they have every single channel in the world. That's the whole. It's all inclusive for everything.
Mad too.
Is that when we got really into kabaddi?
Yeah, like all sorts of.
I got so into kabaddi.
Oh, that's the Indian sport, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, I know about that.
Tag.
Look, we have to stay on. We have to stay on because we could segue into that. But coming back to you guys, okay? So we've spoken about Kenya. We've spoken about Maldives, Tanzania activities. What did you do?
We tried to go deep sea fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly didn't come back. Local, is that right?
So actually, we found a local guide, which is. What we did, who we did everything with.
So shout him out, sorry.
Zahor.
Oh, yeah, hotel Zahor.
So took us out. His boat's probably just a bit bigger than this table. Mm. A bit bigger than this table.
And as wooden as this.
Okay.
Tiny motor. So we've gone out 6 a.m., maybe even earlier.
No, it was like 4 a.m. they picked us up.
Like pitch black.
Yeah.
And it's rough.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
wavy.
Rough. It's rough.
Like, I'm not even joking.
Do you have life jackets on?
It's one.
There was one. he had it.
Wow.
He was like, I'll hang on to you. You can swim. I was like,
wow. This time I couldn't swim like too tough. My swimming, I can swim now, but
okay.
My swimming wasn't too great then.
This isn't the only swimming story we've got about James, but we're not even going to get into that right now. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's really like really rough. Like we're going up like that, smacking down.
Almost free falling. And it's in the middle of the ocean.
And is he calm, Zahor?
He's sort of okay. They're more used to it.
Yeah.
Long story short, caught no fish. Decided to turn back about an hour in.
So they give you like a spear?
No, so we had rods, but we didn't even get them out. Like we
holding off their life.
Horrendous. We kept on checking with each other. You okay? Yeah. You having a good time?
Like,
yeah.
You're looking at each other, smiling, like yay.
Yeah, we're having fun.
Like kind of being like, just in case, like, I love you. Like,
it was so roofy.
It was
till death do us part. Who knew it was going to happen so quickly?
honestly, that like if I look at like
that's a mad
thing.
Think
back now, that was actually basically we just went on a local fisherman's boat.
Yeah,
who he had like no money. Like Zanzibar's a high poverty country, and we were going with locals because we wanted to put money in their pockets.
Of course, so great to do.
Hotel excursions are so expensive, and we're just funding some other German company or whatever. So we wanted to do it through them, but if you do it through them, he basically called his fisherman friend and was like, yo,
can they come out with you in the morning?
Can they come out with you? Yeah. And they were like, yeah, sure, we've got one life jacket. We were just like clinging on to this.
Authentic.
Well, very authentic.
But,
so we did that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
We did a tour of Stone Town. And Slavery Island. So
Prison Island.
Prison Island.
Okay.
Prison Island.
Is it not Slavery Island? Prison Island. Prison. Sorry. Yeah. It was one of the main ports of slavery for Africa.
Okay.
So like most of the boats came off Africa to Zanzibar, where they kind of like pulled everyone together and then sent them to the US and stuff.
Mad thing.
I mean, it was harrowing, as you can imagine. But amazing to go to the island because they still had like, because it was actually awful, but they still had like all the signs and everything back then. It was like, there was like this one post that was like, oh, the US was like, I don't know, X miles that way, the UK is that way. And you could just imagine all these slaves were just trapped on this island, just getting pushed into other boats, having no idea what's happened. And that island was in operation way after
slavery was abolished. Yeah.
But they they've turned it into a tortoise.
Conservation for giant tortoises. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Sanctuary.
Yeah. So you just saw loads of tortoises?
So like as big as hundreds of giant tortoises.
Everywhere.
You could feed them and like rub their
shell.
Some of them are like 100 years old. Like,
oh, wow.
Winds out.
Just a random question, I suppose, for both. What's the local currencies?
Kenyan shilling in Kenya.
Yeah. Knowledge.
Tanzanian dollars? Yeah, like that.
Yeah, Tanzanian dollars.
And in the Maldives?
They have their own, but US dollars is
USD,
uses.
Yeah.
Everyone uses US.
Yeah, everyone uses USD and pounds.
So were you lot...
We had everything.
So were you lot using Monzo? Did you load up the Monzo?
There's no cash points in the resort.
Yeah, it was...
This is like... Yeah.
It was you paying what's most favourable.
They didn't have cards, really.
Okay.
Again, the local rates, everybody's making it up. They're trying to do mental arithmetic.
Oh, a lot of haggling.
not necessarily haggling, but it's £10 if it's pounds. Mm. It might be $20 if like. It's,
okay,
do you get it? So it's
they
most,
often lost out. They're doing in that the maths. Calculation.
Yeah.
A bit off.
They know what they need.
The math wasn't mathing. That's what I always say.
They need dollars at the moment. They'll charge you dollars. So
I suppose what you're saying to people traveling to those places is carry all different types of currency because you'll save the most money.
Definitely
that
in Africa in general, mm-hmm. carry pounds and dollars because you'll be able to spend that anywhere. Then when you get there, you can change into the local currency.
And then in the Maldives, you're saying it's USD, but you can charge everything on card.
Remember, unless you've not done all inclusive, the only thing we're paying for is a tip at the end.
Okay.
And that's just US dollars in the room because you get your own, not quite like the butler that they had. Mm. You get a member of staff like assigned to you as your host. You leave them a tip, whatever they do with it, they do with it as a group. Otherwise, everything's covered.
Okay. And this is a question to all of you. I'm not just going to ask this to the guys. Obviously, this is your honeymoon, right? Were there any like grand gestures that were made on the holiday?
No,
come on. This is like a PG podcast, man. Come on, I don't even know what you're talking about, Lucy. But anyway, James or Josh, you know, Lucy, Beth, was like a dinner, like a candlelit dinner on any nights, like anywhere that you can recommend to people listening to the podcast if they want to, you know, wow their partner.
I wore a terrible t-shirt for an evening. That, to me, was a very grand gesture.
Okay.
I mean, I was going to say the under the sea restaurant.
Yeah, but then
it was pretty grand.
Being serious, we treated ourselves to doing that restaurant.
Yeah, okay.
It's not at a price point that we would normally go to a restaurant in London for that level.
Mm.
Like, I'm not going to Salt Bay in Knightsbridge right now.
Yeah,
and you're talking that kind of thing.
That kind of price,
but
it's
a one-off.
Did you just not even care as well, or was you looking at the menu thinking?
It's a tasting menu, so it's a one-off.
Oh, okay.
You know when you're going in what it's going to cost you.
Yeah, we'd already paid it, but we were like,
needed some persuasion.
Yeah.
Needed some, yes, and external help. Didn't take much persuading.
It's honeymoon. Yeah. Man, come on, you've got to go all out. And yourselves, any gestures, any special dinners? Well, I mean, it's all special.
No,
let me just say it like that.
Different, like, ours seem to be quite activity based. So, we discussed, we went on like the walking tour in the safari, didn't we?
Yeah.
Which is like an additional cost where basically you pay a local tribesman to walk you around in the outback and they have like a spear. You're just like walking around like, oh, there's a giraffe right there. Because normally in your jeep, that's a little bit necky. And then in Zanzibar, we did the sunset cruise, didn't we?
Mm.
Where like a local man, like kind of with his
little rowboat.
A
bit of champagne.
Did you have to row or was he rowing?
No, he rowed us to like this little island off.
You love a boat. So the deep fishing didn't put you off?
I love a boat.
Yeah, he loves a boat.
The deep sea fishing didn't put you off?
That wasn't the best boat we've been on. Like, that honestly was an experience in itself. Like, Of near death.
Yeah, of course.
Sounds like you wanted to start your lives together by ending your life together.
And then you spoke about driving all the way back through, was it Zanzibar or Kenya?
Kenya.
Yeah.
Okay, so how was that? Talk me through that. Like, how did that come about? So you paid $350 for the flights to where?
To Masamara.
And now you've driven from Masamara
back to Nairobi.
Okay.
So I think it's, in terms of how it was, so we decided to do it because we wanted to see more of the country.
Mm.
Obviously, you see a bit when you're flying, but it's quite a quick flight. So in terms of just getting a feel for what the land is like, driving, the first probably 45 minutes, the roads were trash.
Oh, my God.
It's
the boat all over again.
We were looking at each other like, oh, like, 8 hours.
If this is the whole way, it's going to be so bad.
But then you get to a bit of infrastructure.
You hit proper roads.
Yeah.
It's fine. Just really, really nice to drive through. And like, there's kids running about, waving at you.
Waving at me.
Someone of lighter skin tones. All very exciting for them.
Mm.
It was a good learning for us, though. We said if we go back, we'd like bring like school books, colouring pens and like sweets or whatever.
Oh, amazing.
They're just in like these tiny villages. They don't have access to any.
They're just
like the
disconnected almost, aren't they?
Of course they are, but like they would still love a lollipop, right? And they'd love a colouring book. They don't have these resources, and it would have been like what, £20 for us to pack loads?
Yeah.
A lot to them.
So I'm just gonna like on that point. If you're going to these places, obviously there's a chance that you can, you know, meet local villagers and stuff like that. pack some stuff.
Yeah,
definitely. Pack some stuff and do a good thing.
I actually gave my camera to the guide.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, to our tribesmen.
Oh wow.
I didn't use it though.
Yeah, okay.
You obviously like this stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was so nice.
Something that I think you have to remember when you go to any of these places, it's not just, you know, in Africa, in the Maldives, people live very poorly, and people are going there and spending an extortion amount of money.
Yeah, it's
and then making their lifetime.
And then one thing I noticed when you go on the seaplane, it flies low.
Mm.
So you go through, there are islands that are just village islands, and people aren't living in any sort of...
There's no shelter, no toilet, no sanitation.
There is, but it's still like the difference.
It's a lot of poverty, so basic.
And it's the same in all these places in the Caribbean that people go to. It's the same.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think that's probably why those people were annoying us so much when they were being so demanding. And the people are so nice.
Mm.
People were taking that as a chance to basically take liberties, in our opinion.
Yeah.
Because people are, they're doing it because they want to earn a living.
Yeah, of course.
They tell you their stories and they've got, you know, they'll come and live on the resort for 4 days at a time
and then go
away from their family to earn money, come back for a day, then come back. They have like staff quarters, basically.
Yeah.
That's how they're living, to make money.
And then
the tips and stuff are, they go a long way.
Yeah, definitely.
And I suppose in the honeymoon, I think you guys have kind of answered this already, but for you, you said you tip them at the end of the trip, or is it something that you were doing like
constantly? No, you do it at the end, I think, just because...
It's a bit long, every minute, you know what I mean?
It's the same person who is your host, so you've got that consistency throughout.
Yeah.
We didn't see him that much because we weren't very...
Demanding.
He was like searching us out to ask if he could
do
more.
He was like, are you guys okay?
And you're like, we are golden, don't worry about us. Yeah. So you just, they leave a book for feedback card and they leave a slot and you just...
Okay, nice. And for you, tipping as you go, or you've given your camera at the end there?
So we were tipping as we went for like some stuff if we weren't going to see the people again.
Mm.
But I think in the hotels it was just when we were leaving.
Yeah.
Okay.
We kind of put money in people's pockets directly, didn't we? A little bit that we made friends with one guy in our hotel in Zanzibar.
Yeah. So like again, our host was very good to us.
Same as Mufasa as well.
Mufasa, yeah. Literally everything.
Akuna Matata just means like, you know.
Means no
worries. You'd be like, oh, thank you. And they'd be like, Akuna Matata. And you'd honestly be like, oh, this is such a weird feeling.
That is pure Disney magic. Right?
Yeah.
And they are just the like nicest people. And obviously, they're in quite a poverty-stricken country.
Mm.
And they have like one of the best jobs in the islands. They're so grateful to be there as well. Mm. There's nothing they won't do for you.
Mm.
And I think... probably similar to you, we were guests they weren't used to having.
Mm.
The mixed race was probably one thing that was like new to them, but also we were nice, but we were polite and very grateful for
decent
everything.
Decent people.
And we were like...
you didn't want to put them out at midnight.
We're like getting to know them, like, tell us about you, like, where do you live? How long have you lived here? Like, what
good people. I only have good people on this podcast. If your attitude stinks, you ain't coming on the podcast, okay?
If you're spending like 8 or 9K on a holiday, you should probably put some money back in people's pockets.
Exactly.
Don't make that in 10 years. So.
That's true. And... what was I going to say? It's totally skipped my mind. But another question I wanted to ask you both. So obviously this was your honeymoon. It's like, you know, once in a lifetime, hopefully. No, I'm joking. It will be once in a lifetime. But it's like, if you could do it again, what is there something that you want to advise to people? If people have listened to this and gone, all right, I want to go to Zanzibar and Kenya. Is there one thing you're like, oh, damn, like we missed a trick here. And, you know, you wish someone told you. And the same for the Maldives.
I can say with us, we would... have done Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because we've always wanted to go, and that was a place we were Aminari was doing anyway.
Yeah.
And then we realized you could combine them. So obviously the reason we could do it was terrible, and obviously, you know, that was the most horrific thing that happened. We obviously had to change our plans. We'd have loved to be able to go, but
just on changing your plan, I know we spoke a little bit before. You touched upon doing a mini moon as well.
So because we did the registry, we didn't know what we'd be doing, and because we didn't pre-book, as Lucy said, we didn't know where we'd be going and when. And because of the Maldives, the 6 months after our wedding, is basically when you shouldn't go because it rains the whole time.
Yeah.
So we had to wait anyway.
Okay.
But we also didn't want to go through the whole build up to a wedding and then go straight back to work. So we were quite diva-ish. And because we were hopeful that everyone else was paying for our honeymoon, we put a little bit aside, found a really good deal to go to New York and did like a 4-day short trip, which I was ill the whole way through. So maybe karma for being greedy.
I had a great trip. Yeah. Josh, not so much. Yeah.
Where did you guys go? You went to New York?
Went to
you
New
said,
York.
Right?
And that's just something to get away and
we love
by
New
yourself
York.
And switch away from everyone that, you know.
So was that immediately after the wedding?
We
that
one? Went, I think wedding was on Saturday, went on the Monday.
See, like, you know the things you see in the film, right? Where, like, they drive into the sunset and then you go on your honeymoon. That don't really happen in theory. Well, so you did the Saturday to Monday, which is very close. What about you guys?
We were, like, 2 months after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we were, 2 months after.
So people listening to this wanting to plan your honeymoon, like, I think one thing you got to take from this podcast, just be practical, right? Because these things are going to cost a lot of money. So don't put yourself out of pocket for no reason just so you go.
But also, I mean, like, you've just had your wedding. You're going to want to debrief with your mates, chat to people, your family. People might have traveled in to see you. So you need to be around for a little bit after the wedding to still see people and just catch up. Because really at the wedding,
you're not really seeing people.
You're seeing them for 10 minutes and like you're off again. Sort of.
Yeah.
Having that break is actually really important. And it means you're sort of over the whole wedding hype.
Yeah.
So you can just enjoy yourself. People aren't messaging you really. Talking about the wedding and all that sort of stuff. So, the break's important.
You do get sick of talking about your own wedding.
Yeah.
Like, so that 2 month break, by the time we got to the honeymoon,
nice.
We were just talking about us and like future plans. And like, we did quite a lot of that. We weren't talking about, oh, do you remember at the wedding when so and so, Germany?
Yeah.
It's done. We had a great time. Let's talk about what we're doing moving forward.
Yeah.
Which was nice. But I would say, if you aren't doing the gift registry thing that obviously Benson and Lucy were doing, don't wait to book your holiday after your honeymoon after your wedding.
Yeah.
I think it's a big mistake because after your wedding, you will be broke and you will think it's irresponsible to book a really expensive holiday. And then you'll end up like compromising on what you do because
this
you're
is a big
hat. Yeah.
Or you'll end up not going.
We definitely would have done that. I know that if we hadn't booked it, it was like in amongst wedding planning, we were only engaged 8 months. So we did everything very quickly. And we had a big wedding, as you know. So to try and enjoy the wedding planning, we
put the honeymoon, got it out of the way. Honeymoon hack, folks. Book the thing.
Yeah.
Book the thing and then get married, all right? Don't worry.
Your guests to pay for it for you.
I genuinely think if you're not doing a gift registry, you have to budget it into your wedding budget.
Yeah.
It's part of it.
I know it's not a wedding podcast, but it will.
You not doing the gift registry?
No, we did, but we just did cash.
Yeah.
Right. We had a registry, and it was like, we had stuff on the honeymoon, like the sunset cruise and all these sorts of things. But actually, you're just giving money, so
just helping.
Can I just say something on gift registries? I'm not gonna say whose it was. It wasn't any of your weddings, but recently I've paid into another gift registry, and like the way gift registries work, you can pretend to pay for something, but really you're just giving them money. Yeah. Can you believe there was teams that were selling out? Like, there was like one thing. Oh, yeah, sorry, you can't pay for this dinner. It's sold out. What do you mean?
You got to keep up the facade that you're actually paying for.
It was the amount. It was probably the amount. That amount is done.
They didn't
want
any more £20.
No. It was up. It was up. Can I just say? I just found that so funny in the gift registry. I will say, you guys will back me, gift registries are a godsend, right? They take a lot of pressure. There's no guarantee on how much you're going to get from people, but you know you're getting a little something. You know, if you've chosen the right people in your life, you know, up until this point, then you should get something that helps to soften the blow, right? So with that, you know, normally we talk about loading up the Monzo. This one, we're not loading up the Monzo, but we're talking ballpark for the two types of things we did. So Maldives, and you can say a very wide ballpark. Talk to me about pricing in its totality for everything, roughly.
I think where we're concerned, there is quite a range you can do. And
so give us the whole range,
It'll depend on who you're going with. Because what I was surprised by is lots of families go to the Maldives, which I think is very bougie for a holiday.
But, he is long.
You know, if you've
who
got
are
it,
these families?
But you, and then even within your resort, there are things like, do you want to pay for this villa, this villa, this villa, this villa? So you can go anywhere really from four low end for a good awning, like to start to be decent. Up, I mean, you can go up to like
anything,
six
unlimited
figures if you
want.
I think for a honeymoon in a really nice place for 10, you're looking at about 10 grand for everything, flights, hotel, resort. Essentially, with the flights included in that. And it is, and again, there are ranges, and some resorts are ridiculous, but those would be like 50 people.
Mm.
Your villa is like a town.
I hear you.
You'll see just on social media.
I think this is good for people to hear, right? Because sometimes you just need to mentally prepare yourself for these things.
Yeah.
Because if you just start planning it like you said, then this is going to hit you out of nowhere. So it's really good to hear that.
I also think you can bury your head in the sand and think you can go to the Maldives for $2,000 as a couple. You can. But you'll get there and your expectations...
BTEC
Maldives. BTEC Maldives.
But you'll be better off going to like Mexico and going to the best resort there.
Mm.
And it's not to like...
If you go there, you got to do it properly. That's always my thing. Like, if I go on holiday, even though we talk about loading up the Monzo, but there's no penny. Like, I'm not looking at my account. You know what I mean? I'm going all out. Maybe, you know, it's not always the smartest.
And if you can't, just don't go.
Exactly.
Just find an alternative.
Be financially responsible.
Yeah. We had a plan B if we didn't hit a certain amount because we knew it wouldn't be good.
Exactly.
Because
we like that.
Then it would have just been... we've gone because we said we were going
to
go.
Yeah.
So,
and just keep it to yourself as well. You don't even need to be talking to people about what you're doing, innit? What you do is what you do. So what about you guys? Just ballparks as well. We don't have to talk like exact.
Well, I looked at the, I told you at the beginning when we asked the honeymoon people.
Yeah.
Provide us a quote.
Okay. What are the honeymoon people quoting you?
They quoted us 14.
Okay.
With like, we could upgrade to, that was like basic package.
Yeah.
It was a luxury package, right?
Yeah.
So you're obviously staying 5-star everywhere, safari, flights, whatever. But we actually ended up doing it for more like 7.
Yeah, I think about 7-8-ish.
Probably more like 8.
Yeah.
Plus. Just booking everything yourself.
Yeah.
Because we got the bride. So basically,
that's a big saving. So that's a big hack.
They were cashing into saving on our behalf, these honeymoon people, right? But if you do it directly, we just got the savings.
Yeah, of course.
Also, we lucked out with our hotel.
Wow.
So we actually booked a different hotel. They cancelled last minute and moved us to a better hotel.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, again, that hotel was even more expensive. So,
I got that.
It's so, not what we paid for it. It's actually extremely expensive, as you can imagine.
Yeah, of course.
We did get very lucky there as well. I think really... the honeymoon, 5 upwards, you'll probably be okay in most countries. Not the Maldives, mm-mm, not the Seychelles, mm-mm, but most places you'll probably get by. Just have extra.
Unless you want to do like once in a lifetime activities, like
safari
and things.
So we could have done like safari and hot air balloons and like
hot air.
Yeah, so take hot air balloon up and all that. But that was like another $600.
It's not necessary.
So you can obviously level it up, but
you can't put a price on love, folks. So no, I'm joking. No, with me, look, who knows when I eventually get married, we'll see. I'm gonna come into all these things. So guys, this has been a great episode. You know, typically what I would do at this point is say, you know, your trip, what are you rating out of 10? I don't think I need to ask you because this is your honeymoon. It's a once in a lifetime. There we go. It's tens all round. It's a bit like the NBA slam dunking contest. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. So with that, any closing thoughts, guys? Is there anything that we've missed off? Anything that you want to let the listeners in on before we kind of wrap up for today?
Start as you mean to go on.
Yeah.
Start as you mean
do
to
your
go on.
And then go, do you know what? This is lit.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't stop there.
Let's do some more fun things.
No, but that's a massive thing. Like, honeymoon isn't like, that's not it. yeah, people, this is the relationship counselling me coming out. That's the start of many wonderful holidays. Maybe not at the price point, but you gotta enjoy life, man. Yeah. You gotta enjoy life.
Like, the marriage is the real adventure.
There it is. The bars are just getting dropped.
What I will say is, with the wedding, the honeymoon, the marriage, everything, you do you. Yes, people are always gonna put their two cents in with their advice. Mm. Do what works for you as a couple.
Look at that. We just hit you with not only travel advice, but just life advice. Bars. Out of nowhere. Bars. And yeah, guys, with that, like, I want to just thank each and every one of you for taking the time to join us, two couples, Lucy and Beth. You did it, you know, the first females on the podcast. You lot smashed it. Just before I let you guys go, if you've listened up to this point, please like, subscribe, share, comment at @vibesandtribes_. And with that, I've been your host, Bio. This is Vibes and Tribes, over and out.
Bye.
Bye.